Give me the gummy bears.
No.
Give them to me.
All right, we'll share.
No. Give me the bears.
Well, then you can't have any.
Give them to me. Give me.
Oh! Bears overboard. They're drowning.
Hey, fellas, grab onto a sugar roll. Save yourself.
Over.
What?
What?
Why?
Why? It's just that I've waited 7 years for an opportunity like this, and you can't even wait 4.5 minutes for a stupid onion tartlet?
Hey.
Welcome to the One of Our Friends, the podcast that'll be there for you if you're there for it too. This week we are here to review the episode starring John Lovitz, one of my favourite comedians of all time. It's the one with the stoned guy. I am Dando.
I am Nicola.
It is not our 10-year wedding anniversary, but it is 2 days after that, and today we are celebrating it because you couldn't get a day off work on our actual anniversary.
Yeah, on the Wednesday, so we've decided to take the Friday off and have a kid-free day.
We don't get many of these people, kid-free days. There could be no kid interruptions in this podcast, but we are going out for lunch. It's just going to be, like you said, no kids. It's going to be 41 degrees outside, so it's going to be probably a little bit too hot, but we're going to be inside drinking alcohol and having a good time. And we may or may not be getting those tattoos today. I'm not too sure because that was the plan. We mentioned it in the last podcast, but we haven't, you know, parent life. We just forgot to book it. If you can
go and see if we can walk in somewhere, yeah.
If you can do walk-ins, we haven't decided where we're going to get them yet. Where are you going to get your podcast? I know your podcast. Where are you going to get your tattoo?
Like as in the shop, so I'll probably just do a Google of the best tattoo shops in Geelong. Is that what you meant?
No, yeah. I'm just thinking maybe like on my arm here somewhere, like under here, I don't know.
And your triceps.
My triceps, yeah. I don't know.
Bicep holiday.
Where do you think you're going to get it?
I don't know. I thought about like maybe on my wrist or, I know some people go rib cage, but like I'm not that body confident, so I don't know if I'll get it there. Because, you know, I kind of want it in a place.
It's small anyway.
Yeah, well, not that small. Like, you know, I don't know. It's just nice to have, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. But
a surprise.
If you follow us on social media, at One About Friends on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, and you may see the photos of those up on there in the next week or so. But we will be taking photos throughout the day today so you can see our anniversary date. So follow us on social media, at One About Friends on, as I said, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. Nicola just had a whole face full of water. She's having a big drink here. But also, please don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you do find this podcast. We do appreciate you guys showing us the support that way. And if you do appreciate what we do here at the One of Our Friends, we do have plenty of other podcasts here on the Four Finger Discount Network. And you can support us for as little as just $1 per month on our Patreon. If you wish to do so as well, that would be fantastic. But we are here today to talk about the one with the stoned guy, the one that stars John Lovitz, who is just funny in anything he does.
Was very funny, yeah.
He's one of those people who can just walk in and go, hi.
I know.
They don't actually have to write jokes for him. It's just write anything. And no matter, it's like, as long as John's saying it, it's great.
Because
I'm not usually a fan of people playing stoned.
Yeah, right.
I think it's just sometimes that they overdo it and it just seems corny. It's like, hey, man. But he doesn't do it like that. He's more just hungry, if anything.
Yeah, that's right.
But the best bit about him playing stoned was him throwing the mac and cheese on the floor and then grabbing the gummy bears.
I know, exactly. Hiding the gummy bears. I've written that as one of my favourite parts as well.
He didn't really play it because sometimes if you say play drunk and play drugged, they always go, ooh, and drunk is more just like for example, goofy, that scene there where he thinks he's not being seen, but he is.
Yeah.
Oblivious to what's around him as opposed to being, whoa. And I thought he just did it so, so well. But I read that he appears later on, like season 9.
He does, yes, yeah.
Yeah, still a drug addict apparently.
Yes. It's interesting they don't reference the previous, like they reintroduce Rachel and Steve again. So
she doesn't remember him.
No, at that time I thought that, interesting. It was a bit of interesting continuity. It's a blind date scenario in the season 9 episode. And Phoebe acknowledged, I've set him up, I've set her up with a horrible guy. Like, this is the guy.
But
Rachel's
know
just like,
well.
Hi. Exactly. Rachel should remember him. But
and,
doesn't.
And Phoebe.
Well, no, Phoebe does know him. Yeah, Phoebe's the one that set up the blind date.
But Phoebe should know. It's that guy that Monica...
Yeah,
she's in
exactly.
The scene here.
Yeah, she doesn't do that. Yeah, she sets it up. They set it up as a blind date. And he even references having a restaurant. So it's interesting.
Yeah, he lost the restaurant or something.
To drugs or something. So, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, but... Anyway, continuity error.
But it's funny because we just did our review of Brush With Greatness on the Four Finger Discount podcast, our Simpsons podcast, where John Lovitz, that was his first appearance. No, his second appearance in The Simpsons. He plays a professor, professor of an art class.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just fantastic in that. He's one of those guys who's really like, he's just so full of support.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Marvelous meme on social media? Or there's one that I use all the time for Simpsons fans out there, where he talks up everything like over the top.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, he sort of says to someone like, I don't like to overemphasize things. And then he walks past some guy that's painting the stairs. And he's like, another triumph.
No, I'm not familiar, but yeah.
It's so great. But yeah, if you'd want to, if you're a fan of The Simpsons, check out our review of Brush With Greatness on our feed there as well. But yes, what were your favourite moments from this one, Nicola?
I have a few. I mean, it started straight away in the cold opening with, like, Rachel giving Monica a coffee, and then instead of being like, oh my goodness, I stuck a pencil in your coffee, she's just like, oh, here you go, whoops. And Monica's like, I'm expected to drink this now?
It's a very Kramer moment. That's something you'd see Kramer doing on Seinfeld. But she's just not getting better as a waitress. Does she ever get better?
No, hence why, obviously, Monica may not have asked her to waitress originally, which
does
didn't go
down. Does she get
well.
Better, though? I know she changes job.
No, she doesn't at all.
Doesn't?
No.
Okay. No. That's fine.
Yeah, like, I think, like, the last day, like, the last coffee she gives, I remember that episode, it's something, like, she's like, you know, thank you, makes a speech, blah, 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 and then Chandler something, you know, should I tell her I ordered a tea? And something like that in the last episode. I thought it was funny, Chandler just referencing, you know, weenus, and at some point, during the tenure of his new position, he references the anus. So there's obviously weekly estimated net usage systems, and anus is annual net usage.
We haven't seen the anus yet, though.
No.
No, okay, so that's lost on me.
Oh, all right, okay, you'll see it. No, but you know how he referenced, oh, no, my weenus is going to be out of whack.
I know weenus, yes, but I haven't heard the anus bit. I was like, did I miss that bit in this episode?
No, exactly, okay, but yeah, maybe that's just my prior knowledge. I just thought it was quite fun. I thought it's funny, Joey and Ross, they have some great scenes together across the whole, obviously, 10 years. But when Ross was like, oh, nah, we just cuddled. He said, oh, my God, cuddling, how many times? I thought that was quite good. And then, obviously, yeah, the dirty talk scene between them as well. And naturally, yeah. And I've literally written the gummy bears and the sugar rose and that, yeah, silliness. I thought was great.
There was a good mix of friend-style humour, but just like classic sitcom humour, like that Joey and... and Ross scene, that's something you'd see on like Raymond, just see a classic sitcom where you know, the brother's doing something awkward and like
and somebody and
she walks
comes
in,
yeah,
the father
yeah.
walks in behind them or something. But I loved in that scene where he goes, just try to me. Please be kidding.
Yeah. But I'm like, I'm in my apartment. No, that's it. I'm in my apartment. You're not there. Yeah. We are not having this conversation.
Also really enjoyed. I just thought Chandler, again, I am definitely Chandler. Like Chandler going through, what he goes through in this episode is what I went through 6 months ago when I quit my job. Mm. It's like, I could be here and I could, you know, be good at this job.
No, the difference is they weren't willing to pay you.
That is true, yes.
To stay.
Not
even
a goodbye. Just
no.
But the thing is, he's just, he comes to a moment in his life where he's like, I don't want to be doing this. I want to be doing something.
And it's funny because it actually, in a number of years, he does finally quit the job as well.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, the one with Tulsa or something.
Yeah, like he had to move to Tulsa at some point, but yeah.
But yeah, but if you guys aren't aware, I quit my job 6 months ago to focus on this podcast thing. So if you could support us, that would be
fantastic. Gosh, is it 6 months or more? I don't even know.
Just over 6 months, I'd say. Yeah, in August of 2022, I quit my job, had enough of the office job and thought, I'm going to try this podcast thing out. And so if you guys are enjoying it, we'd love your support in return. But I also really loved... Thank you, Helen. That'll be all.
Yes.
That'll be the last time, I promise. Yeah, like, I would do that.
Oh, my goodness. I have an assistant. Let me just like, yeah.
Because she walks in. I was like, why is she so angry? It's like, because he's clearly been doing this all day.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought it was really good as well.
5 correct questions wins the game. The lightning round begins now.
All right. It's time for some trivia, Nicola. But before we do trivia, got to read out some names of our patrons, including our man, Elliot J. O'Neill from the Simpsons Index podcast. If you're a fan of the Simpsons, check out the Simpsons Index. My other co-host, Guy, and myself were on there several months ago, so check out that episode as well. But yeah, the Simpsons Index podcast, one of the best Simpsons podcasts out there, so make sure you hit that subscribe button. Also, our man, Andrew Zer, who supports us with $50 redos every single month. He's an absolute champion, one of the best supporters we have here, and we love you so much for it, sir. Also, the following people, these guys check us $5 every single week. We've got Jordan Moleman, Richie, Christopher Darby, Jonathan Rossi, Zach Pruitt, Timothy Burleson, George McMenemy, Stephen Roberts, Sean Devey, Pete Anderson, Plain Old Matt, Andrew Davis, Ryan Dunlap, Jared Howard, Kevin Dental Plan Flood, Joel Yoland, Katie G, Daniel Kotnick, Shannon Hofer, Reese Roberts, Bella Windebag, Tom Pickering, Mark Boston Burgess, Jack McFadden, Heath Appleby, Preston Murray, Adric McLeod, and Lewis Kavanagh. Thank you so much, guys. Remember, if you want to get your name read out on just one of our podcasts, you can be a $5 plus supporter, or if it's $5 per week, you get your name read out on every single podcast we do here on the Four Finger Discount Network. Or for as little as $2, you can get access to our exclusive Facebook community where you get to banter. We've got it all broken up now. We've got Friends sections, we've got Seinfeld sections, we've got King of the Hill sections, Simpsons sections, or just a whole wide community where myself, Nicola, and Guy are also in there as well, and you can banter on a daily basis with us for just as little as just $2 a month. So why not join the family today at One About Friends? All right, Nicola, what's your first trivia question?
Bug Lady. Mm. What's her name? What's her job?
Celia, and mm-hmm. she's the curator of the insect
Very section. Good. Okay.
Yeah. Where is the restaurant located? Steve's restaurant. What street? What number? She says, this little place on something street. Not too big, not too small.
You've got me. It's where the Goldilocks and the Three Bears live. That I know.
What wedding anniversary is it?
10th.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving me clues. Yes. I totally missed that one. Well done. Great question. Where did Chandler wait tables and what year?
Ah, Innsbruck 76.
Yeah.
Now, is that a reference to like Olympics or something? Because they talk about the Olympics. She's making an Olympic joke there. And then he goes, oh, yeah, I did the Innsbruck in 76. Where were the Olympics in 76? Were there Olympics in 76?
I don't know.
Let's look this up just in case. I was supposed to look it up.
I just thought he was just making a silly joke. Well, I have some waiting tables experience, so I don't know what Innsbruck in 76 means, but...
The Summer Olympics were in Montreal, so no, they were not.
What is in Innsbruck, though?
I'm going to look that up right now. What's Innsbruck? Innsbruck is just the capital of Tyrol, so it's just a capital. Oh, it's in Austria. I'm confused. Whatever. Let us know, listeners. Yeah. By the way, you can get in touch with us.
Maybe there's only like two tables in Innsbruck. That's a joke. I don't know.
You can get in touch with us, friendsmailbag@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you guys, so make sure in the next couple of weeks, write into us, friendsmailbag@gmail.com. All right, what's your next question? Okay. That was yours, wasn't it?
That was my question. Yes. Yeah, what's yours?
How big is the steak that Joey
32 says? 32 ounce.
Correct.
Yes.
What animal would eat
a puma? Yeah. I know. I wrote that down, actually. Not dating a puma. Sorry, that was actually one of my favourite moments. I must have skimmed by that. Yeah, and okay, well, what was the restaurant that the 32 ounce steak was at?
Tony's.
Yeah, very good. That wasn't one of my questions, but it just piggybacked nicely. All right, what? Who's the author that Ross references about the dirty talk?
I've read my notes. I was like, I won't cheat. It's Martin.
The surname begins with M. Very good. But
yeah, nah. Marshall. Nah, lost me.
James Michener.
Michener, that's the one. Yes. I knew there was a M somewhere. Is that all your questions?
Yeah, could be.
My final question is, I've already spoiled it. What is Chandler's secretary's name?
Helen. Yeah, I read that as one of my questions too. And then when you said it, I was like, oh, he clearly knows. I could have a follow-up question in what was on the ravioli, the amuse-bouche ravioli that Monica served?
No idea.
Rock shrimp.
I knew it was rock shrimp ravioli, but I thought you meant the part after.
Oh, go on then. What's the part after?
No. I've got rock shrimp ravioli. I don't have the bit that came after. That's what I thought you were referencing.
Okay, yeah, which is cilantro ponzu sauce and minced, and a big pause, ginger.
Spank my ass and call me Judy.
I know. Everything was slap, darling, but all right.
What did I say?
Slap my ass and call me. I don't know.
Anyway, everything he says in that scene is funny, but we'll get into that in just a couple of moments. But that is our trivia.
Mac and cheese. We got to make this.
That is our trivia for the one with the stone guy. We'll be right back after the short break with our review of the episode.
I'm not a very good co-host, am I? I keep talking over you today.
That's fine.
I'm so excited. It's a daytime podcast. It's just great. I've got so much energy.
The original air date of the one with the stoned guy was February 16th, 1995. It was actually recorded or filmed in front of an audience in December. I think about December 14th, I read somewhere, the year prior. But yeah, February 16th, it was yesterday.
Exactly. Wow. We're actually right on track. If we keep doing these weekly, we're going to end up like literally date for date. So that's probably quite topical.
But the thing is, though, we do it bi-weekly, this show.
Oh, yeah, true. But the last one we did, wasn't it Valentine's? Oh, no, yeah. And we were the week before Valentine's, yeah.
If you guys, by the way, want this show weekly, support us on Patreon. If we hit a certain number, if you go on our Patreon, you can see we hit certain targets. These shows become weekly.
Mm.
So check it out, guys, if you want this show in your ears every single week. All right, and it was directed by Alan Meyerson and written by Jeff Greenstein and Jeff Strauss. So the episode kicks off with the cold open that Nicola was mentioning earlier with the cinnamon stick eraser.
Coffee.
Thank you.
Cappuccino.
Grazie.
A nice hot cider from Monica.
Aw, thank you.
Rach?
Yeah?
Why does my cinnamon stick have an eraser?
Oh. Oh, that's why. Sorry.
I didn't think much of this cold open. I know you said you really enjoyed
it. Well, do you think it not relates to Rachel's waitressing skills? And then later in the episode when Monica's like, I wanted a professional like we literally saw firsthand Rachel's version of waitressing. So yeah,
that's a very good point. I never put the two and two together. Yeah. Well done. Yes, that makes far more sense now. So the episode then kicks off with Chandler in his little cubicle. And I'm assuming it's Mr. Kostelik's secretary or the HR comes up to him and says he wants to speak to you after work. And he says, oh, don't worry, I had nothing to do with the prank memos and pulled out all these gag gifts like the Fozzie Bear chicken and things like that. We're now at Central Perk and Phoebe says, Chandler's got some incredible news. But pretend like you don't know, but then he walks in.
What's going on?
What is up?
So it's a typical day at work. I'm in putting my numbers and Big Al calls me into his office and tells me he wants to make me processing supervisor.
That is great! Oh,
congratulations!
So I quit.
Why?
Why? This was supposed to be a temp job.
Yeah, Chandler, you've been there for 5 years.
If I took this promotion, it would be like admitting that this is what I actually do.
So was it a lot more money?
Doesn't matter. I just don't want to be one of those guys that's in his office until 12 o'clock at night worrying about the weenus.
The weenus?
Weekly estimated net usage systems. It's a processing term.
Oh, that weenus.
The weekly estimated net usage systems. Do you have weird shit like that at your work? Like acronyms for things like that?
Yeah.
Give me one.
Like VITS, which is an organization.
Sounds like something creepy crawlers in your hair.
Yeah. Do you want me to tell you what it stands
yes.
for?
Yes. Let's just say the name.
It's the Victorian, it's a really old name. It's Victorian.
Don't worry, guys. Nicola's just the boss of
Institute
work.
Institute of Translate. No, Victorian Interpreting and Translating Services. Sorry, VITS.
Okay.
But it's just one of our clients. But they're called Language Loop now, not VITS. Okay. But we still refer to them as VITS. So it's one of those like old school things that they'll be forever known as VITS.
Like we call the Cariah Shopping Centre the Village. Because when I was growing, it was always called Cariah Village, a local shopping centre here. But he says, he had to quit because he wants to figure out what he's going to do. And he cannot figure it out when he's there. And then Phoebe says, hey, look, I've got a new client. He's a head chef. And he's looking for a new head chef. Sorry, he owns a restaurant. And Monica's just like, hello.
Hello.
And Phoebe's just like, excuse me, this guy needs a job.
I know.
But does Monica have a job at this point?
I'm sure she does. But like, she probably, I'm just trying to think where she works now. Is she still at that restaurant?
Because she gets Wendy.
Yes, that's right. She still works at that restaurant that we've seen her at, the Iridium or whatever, I think. I don't think we've heard of a job change since then. But she's obviously looking for an opportunity.
This is the head chef to control the menu.
Like, hello, new menu, new chef. Oh, my goodness, like new space,
And Chandler's just sort of like, I've got no experience, unless he's an old toast restaurant.
Yeah. Phoebe's still not picking up on that. Like, haha, okay, so what do you think?
Realises that Chandler's not going to take it. Hey, Monica, guess what? We're now at the apartment and Chandler asks Rachel if he can see his nipples. I thought it was very telling that he asked Rachel, of all people, if he can see his nipples through his shirt. And he says he's going to go see Dr. Robert Pillman, the career counsellor, which doesn't pay off for him, which we find out in a few moments. But
It does if it sort of, solidifies what you're fit to do.
I guess, because at first it's like he told me what I didn't want to be, but then he realises that's who he's supposed to be, even though he doesn't want to. Does he eventually like his job? Or does he always just not like his job, even though he's good at it? At this point,
I don't really think that we get much of an idea of that. I think, generally, he still probably isn't overly keen.
Because we kind of get, at the end of this episode, that he doesn't like his job.
Yes,
he's good
exactly.
at it, but doesn't like it.
Yeah, and, good money and all that, so.
He says, you guys, you all know what you want to do with yourselves, and looks at Rachel. Well, you guys in the living room. Well, I think Joey was the one he excluded as well, right? Because Joey's not working at the moment.
No, he wants to be an actor, though. He knows what he wants to be.
Yeah, I guess so.
He has his direction. That's the point.
How is Joey paying for this apartment?
Again, out of work actor, who knows?
Monica's now, she's so over the moon. She's got the interview. It's going to be happening. She talks about the other place. And it was formerly owned by a blonde woman with three bears.
Hey, guys, does anyone know a good date place in the neighborhood?
How about Tony's? If you can finish a 32-ounce steak, it's free.
Okay. Hey, does anyone know a good place if you're not dating a puma?
Who are you going out with?
Is this the bug lady?
I love you, Ron.
Her name is Celia. She's not a bug lady. She's curator of insects at the museum.
So what are you guys gonna do?
Well, I just thought we'd go out to dinner and then maybe bring her back to my place and I'd introduce her to my monkey.
And he's not speaking metaphorically.
So, back to your place. You thinking maybe,
Well, I don't know. I'm hoping.
Bug lady or whatever, she's pretty banging.
Yeah, oh, too true.
Like, go Ross.
Yeah, she doesn't look like a bug lady. I think it's just because that's her job, right? Well, I was expecting it. When Rachel was like, with all the things, I was just like, does she look a bit like a bug?
I was expecting big frizzy, eyes or frizzy hair, yeah, big yeah. Like, bottled glasses, you know, that kind of thing. But I'm just like, oh, what are you making fun of this chick for?
She's all right. Yeah.
Joey then thinks that this monkey, it's a chick magnet, you know, it's definitely going to work if you show her the monkey. Cut to her getting her hair pulled out by the monkey.
Mm.
I completely forgot he had the monkey at this point.
Yeah, it hadn't been referenced in a couple of episodes, has it?
So. Well, it was too hard to work with apparently on set, and then they were just like, why does this guy have a monkey?
Makes sense, to be honest with you. It was like a...
It's a monkey.
What's the word? Exotic, exotic creature.
It was supposed to be on a TV show. But anyway, Monica is now testing the salmon mousse with her friends, with Joey. Yeah. Gross.
Yeah, I know. I like salmon, but whipped. I'm not sure I'd like salmon mousse. But hey-ho.
So, would you guys call whipped fish squirty fish?
Does it come in a pressurized can? Because ew.
Can I have some squirty fish, please? We're talking about whipped fish here. I'm happy I'm just keeping it down. So Chandler, he arrives. He's all disheveled. He's upset. And he realizes that after all the hours upon hours of all the different tests.
Intellect tests and everything. Aptitude
data,
tests.
Data processing. Do you say data or data?
Data.
You do say data, don't you? Yeah. I say data. And, you know, he's just sad because he always pictured himself doing something. And I was like, I love that moment there because he's just like, we all have that moment where we're just like, this can't be it. I had visions of me being somebody or doing something. And Monica then gives him the pre-appetizer. What was it called?
Amuse-bouche.
Amuse-bouche. It's a cool name.
It's, yeah, isn't it? It reminds me of the Mighty Boosh. I don't know why.
Well, I had the exact same thing.
It's French. It's like, small appetizer or something like that.
Oh, hi, Wendy. Yeah, 8 o'clock. What do we say, $10 an hour? Okay, great. All right, I'll see you then. Bye.
$10 an hour for what?
Oh, I asked one of the waitresses at work if she'd help me out.
Waitressing?
Uh-oh. Of course I thought of you. But, you see, this night has to go just perfect, you know, and, well, Wendy's more of a professional waitress.
Oh, I see. Yes, and I've sort of been maintaining my amateur status so that I can waitress in the Olympics.
No, I don't mean to brag, but I waited tables at Innsbruck in 76.
We then get Celia and Ross smooching at Ross's place. Is it Ross's place, I'm assuming? Is that Ross's place?
Yeah, the monkey's there, right? Oh, well, the monkey's not in the scene, but it is his couch.
But is that meant to be the same night, is it?
Yeah, because he pacified the monkey with a banana.
Yes.
Probably put the monkey to bed. She's wearing the same clothes. I'd say it's the same night.
I would assume so, yes, she's wearing the same clothes. I wasn't paying much attention.
Or she's a dirty stop out and wears the same clothes for 3 days.
Talk to me.
Okay, weird thing happened to me on the train this morning.
No. Talk dirty.
What? Here?
Say something hot. What? What?
Vulva.
What are you doing, buddy?
What would you say?
But you're terrible at dirty talk. You don't
talk
dirty.
Well, I don't want to do it. I'm fine. Love you, babe. That's as good as it gets for me. Love you. That was my sexiest voice.
I reckon you've tried dirty talk twice in 10 years of marriage.
I don't think I even have. What have I?
No, you never do. You get all flustered.
I get easily embarrassed. I'm a straight and cut and dry kind of girl. I'm fine. I want to hear your example of dirty talk, though.
My example of dirty talk. Do you really want to hear it?
Well, let's see how it goes, and then you can decide whether to cut it out of the podcast.
Turn around.
I don't want to say it to your face.
Yes.
Or was turn around it? Was that the dirty talk?
Yes.
We're living it up large. 10 years of marriage. This is it.
vulva.
All right, I panicked, all right? She took me by surprise, you know, but it wasn't a total loss. I mean, we ended up cuddling.
Whoa, you cuddled? How many times?
Joey here, like, he's like, he's becoming like that woman, not so much the, I guess a womanizer, but he's just confident with women, I guess you could say, because we haven't really seen him be a womanizer yet, have we?
No, exactly. I don't think he's necessarily treating women badly. I don't think we've seen that per se. It just sounds like he doesn't struggle with women. You know, he's got dates, things are happening, you know, he's getting laid all the time and stuff like that. And you think, well, as long as the girls know they're in for a night or two with Joey and that might be all, or, you know, a number of weeks or whatever it's supposed to be. But I don't think it's really womanizing unless you're like, I don't view it as womanizing unless you are actually not treating them very nicely or stringing them along.
Three on the go.
Exactly. Like, and they all think it's, you know, an exclusive relationship or something like that. I don't think, you know, it's a fair term at this point. But
I'm going to send a couple of messages to some people then. Hang on.
Oh, Jesus.
But then we get, you know, the try it on me scene, which I thought was just hilarious. I really liked what Chandler was wearing here. Apparently it's close to what Ross was wearing in the episode, the one with the thumb. It was just such a 1994/5 shirt, white with like the big colourful square.
Yeah,
I definitely had a jumper like that. Did you?
Yeah, but I think a lot of your t-shirts are still like that.
Yeah, that's true. But do you remember the big jazzy like pants where they're like squiggly lines all over them? Did you have them when you were a kid?
Yeah, we had what do we call it? Shell suits and stuff, which were those really bright. Kind of those shiny, like, I don't know, those sorts of really super bright,
They were super popular.
Yeah, they were, I know.
I think they call like sports jackets now, aren't they?
I don't know, we just called them shell suits because you had the matching jacket and pants, so they were, it was a shell suit, you know?
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. We should dress up Holly in that. Just, but you know what I want to do is I want to get the kids dressed up like full 90s style. Get mum, because I found at mum and dad's place the other day, the old video camera. Like a retro style video and get like a Polaroid camera, just make some like 90s looking stuff.
Yeah, and then you can compare it with us as kids too, you
know? That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, I thought it'd be funny.
Oh, on a note on Holly, by the way, we should let the listeners know that we gave her our first haircut last night, didn't we?
Yeah.
So cute. Gave her a fringe.
She loved it too.
Yeah, she did. She was pretty good. We're just starting slow. I feel like on retrospect, looking at the fringe this morning, it's...
It was fine and you went too... I was like, it looks all right. And you're like, nah, a bit more off. And I'm like...
Well, it was only on one side because it was a bit wonky. But like... It's a great start, though. Within a few days, it'll look great. I reckon just see a little bit more framing around the rest of her face. But
haircuts tend to look better
sweet.
A couple of days after.
Yeah, so
it's not
sweet.
Like pizzas. It's always better the day after. But yeah, I just thought this scene here was just classic sitcom. Just, you know, two guys, the way they turn around really slowly, the audience is all laughing their heads off. Matthew Perry just laughing his head off at the same time.
I know, it's funny because he actually, I don't know how many, if they've cut it apart and taken it from different takes, because Matthew Perry actually looks like he's like laughing at this point. Yeah. It's like, did they crack up or did they manage to cut and chop the scenes? And, you know, he seemed to pull it together and sort of purse his lips and be like, with.
Yeah. I want to feel your hot, soft skin with my lips.
There you go. Keep going.
I want to take my tongue and... And
say it. Say it.
Run it all over your body until you're trembling with
with.
Funny story.
You're not going to believe it.
It's okay. I was always rooting for you two kids to get together.
Then we get Mr. Kostlik, his old boss. He keeps calling, and again, and again, and again.
Hello. And again.
Hey, Mr. Kostlik, how's life on the 15th floor? Yeah, I miss you too. Yeah, it's a lot less satisfying to steal pens from your own home, you know? Well, that's very generous. But look, this isn't about the money, you know? It's just I need something that's more than a job. I need something I really care about. And that's on top of the year-end bonus structure you mentioned earlier?
A dream.
Look, Al, I'm not playing hardball here, okay? This is not a negotiation. This is a rejection. No, stop saying numbers. I'm telling you, you've got the wrong guy. You've got the wrong guy. I'll see you Monday.
Man. So it's worked out well for Chandler. You know, he's a wanted man. How that must feel, I don't know. You want me. That's all that matters, isn't
Thank
it?
Thank you. Are you going to recognize me in the room here?
Chandler then shows off his... Why is he and Phoebe like so friendly? Phoebe's like, oh, Chandler's got some great news. And then like he's showing Phoebe the office. Like, what did Phoebe want to like offer the job to Chandler? Do we see... I didn't feel like they were very close characters on the show.
I don't see why not.
Of all the friends, he's bringing Phoebe to see the office?
Yeah, but maybe she's got nothing else to do. Everyone else has got jobs. I don't know. But like Phoebe, I think the only reason she brought the job to Chandler was because she was like, oh, I've just thought of something. Like if someone else, like because Joey, Ross and Monica were there, she could have turned around to them if they had quit their job and offered, you know, it was just like a spur of the moment. Like, oh, actually, I've got a thing.
Yeah.
So I think that bit was spur of the moment. But yeah, bringing her to see the office, I don't know.
It's a view of the guy peeing on the street. Yeah. Big window.
And then Jen's just like, and that's enough of the window.
It's a good view though.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when we stayed in New York, we stayed at some place and the view wasn't that great. It's just like a view of concrete.
Yeah.
But it just still felt like, I'm like, this just looks like you're looking at New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was still cool in that regard.
It was pretty cool.
Saw some traffic jams, saw some people abusing each other on the road, guy peeing on the street.
Yeah, saw some snow.
Yeah, we did see some snow. Yeah, that was the first time in my life I'd ever saw snow.
Mm.
It wasn't great snow. It was like muddy snow, but it was snow. Then we get calling in Helen, which I just thought was so great.
She just strolls in the slowest strolls and then strolls out like...
Because she can't refuse. It's her job. Yeah. She has to do it because it could be important this time.
You have a window!
Yes, indeedy. With a beautiful view of...
Oh, look! That guy's peeing.
Okay, that's enough of the view. All right, check this out. Look at this. Okay, sit down here. Sit down.
Okay.
Okay, this is great. This is great.
Yeah.
Helen, could you come in here for a moment? Thank you, Helen. That'll be all. Last time I do that, I promise.
Wendy then backs out on Monica and Rachel overhears, nice sassia. Who was that? She says she's made plans to go walk around, so she's not going to do it. And then I thought it would have been nice if she just agreed to do it for free. But then she agreed. Because to me, it felt like a flat ending to that scene. She was like, $20. She's like, okay. And the crowd didn't really laugh. It was just kind of like, she's charging her money. Just because like Monica did put a roof over her head.
Well, I know, but I also think that Monica acknowledges that it wasn't the most sensitive thing for her to do.
Did she say sorry? If she just goes, look, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I really need you here. It would have been a nice friends moment, I think.
No, I'm with Rachel.
Oh, fuck it. I guess she needs the money. Yeah. Does she need the money? I guess she did, because she's not taking dad's money anymore, is she?
Mm.
Steve then arrives, Mr. John Lovitz. Greet a girl.
Yes, I know.
Everything. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to be doing John Lovitz a lot. And Phoebe exaggerates the smell. She says it smells delicious. And Monica offers the tour. I was just being polite because he says it's a great apartment. But all right, take me on the tour.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this is where Phoebe takes the chance to tell Rachel that Steve smoked some weed. What did she say? She's
lit up a doobie
on the way here.
What's up? In the cab on the way over, Steve blazed up a doobie. What? Smoked a joint, you know, lit a bone, weed, hemp, ganja.
Okay. I know. Okay, I'm with you, Cheech. Okay.
Is it dry in here?
How good was the delivery of just like, is it dry in here?
Yeah. And the teeth.
Yes, yes. It's very, very good. And he just smashes down the rock shrimp ravioli, which came with what? Tell me again.
Minced. Oh, sorry. Cilantro ponzu sauce, which actually I'm interested in what is ponzu sauce. And then and minced ginger. Because she's just like takes this huge pause like, oh my God, you have eaten all of these.
These are rock shrimp ravioli and a cilantro ponzu sauce with just a touch of minced. Ginger.
Well, smack my ass and call me Judy.
These are fantastic.
Oh, gosh. I'm so glad you like them.
Like them? I could eat 100 of them.
Oh. Well, that's all there is of these. But in about 8.5 minutes, we'll be serving some delicious onion tartlets.
Tartlets? Tartlets. Tartlets. Word has lost all meaning.
He goes into the kitchen. He doesn't know what he's looking for, though. He's going through all the different things. And I like here, Rachel. I don't know why this tickled me so much, but Rachel trying to explain, you know, what miming. Yeah. And, and Monica just gives a thumbs up.
Yeah.
She has no idea what she's talking about.
Well, she just thinks it's an okay. And it's yeah.
Oh, cool. Taco shells. Like a little corn envelope. And Monica's getting all flustered here. She can't believe what's going on. She's furious now that he's done this. So he wants the mac and cheese. He wants to make mac and cheese. She says no. She drops it on the floor. Sorry. And he grabs the gummy bears. Just, great moment. And then he says, he offers to share it. No, I won't give him back, but I will share it. And then I go, all over the food. What did they land in? Some soup or
a
something?
A bowl of it. Yeah, soup or whatever it is.
They're drowning. Grab onto the sugar O's. And Monica has a big rant. She gets angry with him and says, you know, this was very important to me. You haven't taken it seriously. Couldn't even wait 4 minutes for the tartlets. And ding.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. I thought that was good, yeah.
We're now at Central Perk at the end. And Monica, she's very sad. She thought this was going to be her moment, her big moment where she can run a restaurant and have her own menu. And it just didn't pan out. He didn't want to work for a guy like that anyway. It wouldn't have worked out. As we find out, he lost his restaurant anyway.
Mm.
Joey then asks how Celia went. And Ross talks himself up as the James Michener of dirty talk. But it only resulted in cuddling.
It was like, yeah, like stories, plot lines, you know.
But I'm just like, when he goes, oh, so much dirty talk that we just got all tired. And he's like, I hear you, brother. Sometimes it gets to 9:30 and you're like, ugh.
Well, Brennan and I think it got to about 10 or 10:30 last night because it's kind of a mini little weekend for us knowing we had today off, which is it's nice to not have the pressure. But
yeah.
We were just sat watching a bit of telly. I don't think we made it through that second episode of Law and Order, did we? We were both asleep on the sofa. Oh, did you?
I turned on the old AEW wrestling while she fell asleep.
Yeah.
Apparently
I was snoring.
This is the thing. This is how this relationship works, guys. I fall asleep mid-episode. Nicola just watches to the end.
I don't.
And at the end you go, oh, I didn't realise you were asleep.
Well, exactly. If I didn't. So I've seen you asleep before and obviously paused it and been like, I paused it. Within minutes of knowing, you know, as soon as I saw you're asleep, hopefully of minutes of you last seeing it. But if I don't know you're asleep, how can I know?
Let us know, listeners. What are your thoughts? Friendsmailbag@gmail.com. If you're watching something with your partner and they fall asleep, should you have to then pause it and have to wait until they wake up the next day or whatever to watch the end of it?
Well, I would do that because I've got other things to watch.
Or should you be allowed to just power through? Let us know. Friendsmailbag@gmail.com. I think it's polite to pause. Nicola thinks it's okay to just power through.
No, I think it's polite to pause.
Oh, you think
yeah, that's
pause
what I'm saying.
Well.
If I see you asleep, I pause it. But it's not my fault if I don't look at you for 25 minutes because I'm intrigued in the Law and Order episode. We don't talk, let's be honest, guys. We sit on opposite ends of the sofa and just get engrossed in Law and Order.
Yep.
And if you're not snoring, how do I know?
Not just in Law and Order, in Sam Waterston.
Sam Waterston.
And his fluffy hair.
That was Joey's
grandma. Yes. I know. That's why I mentioned
it. Oh, very good.
Thought you would have been impressed with my little friend's reference.
Yeah, very
there.
Good. I am impressed. I just couldn't remember if I'd talked to you about that or not yet.
Phoebe suggests that they go see a late movie and they wonder, where's Chandler? And as he said earlier, he's now working late at work, caring about weenuses. And that is the end of the episode. Actually, at the end of the episode, we see Phoebe being really
rough. Oh, yes.
Rough
elbows
and mean
in. Absolutely.
To Steve as payback for being an arsehole to Monica on her special night. But that is our review of The Stone Guy. Another really funny episode of Friends. I'm definitely gravitating towards Chandler. I think he's my favorite. At the start of this podcast, I think it was Ross. I always just assumed I was a Ross. I'm Chandler all the way.
Nah, Ross is too miserable.
He is miserable. Like, I just feel like he hasn't.
No, there's definitely some fun moments. And like I said, I always said, like, I think that David Schwimmer is a fantastic actor. So I think that there's lots of comedy around what, you know, some of Ross's storylines. I think it's very funny. But yeah, like, the actual character, I don't know, yeah.
But you take out the Ross and Rachel dynamic, which you've done here, right? That's not happening for a while. Is he even needed? Like, I just don't think he's really...
Yeah.
I don't know.
The, you know, the egg and had tried to set up a date with the egg and now he's trying to set up a date with the bug lady. You know, he has...
What was the egg?
You know, like his neighbour.
Oh, using the egg.
So it's just, I just think he's a bit tragic in his love life and I think that's part of his storyline at the moment is he's just a bit tragic, you know?
Who wants tragedy in comedy?
Well, no, but like his friends are supporting him through it. Well, it's funny, isn't it? Like that, you know, he was telling Dirty Talk went so well that they were so tired they fell asleep and they cuddled again.
True.
You know, it's just things like those little side stories, you know, and he definitely comes into his own. There are some very, very funny episodes coming up.
The next one we're going to be reviewing is?
Tell me.
It is the one with two parts, part one.
Oh.
Do you remember what this one is about?
Is it the end of the season or not?
It will be episode 16, so no.
No. The one with two parts. Oh, baby?
I don't know. Chandler has to fire an employee, is what the first line says.
Okay, I remember that part. We see his big office and his big window a bit more.
And we get part two, and then after that is the one with all the poker.
What's part two? Does it have, what's the first line of part two?
First line is, at the hospital, Rachel asks Monica to swap names.
I wonder why it's part one and part two. I can't remember. The carryover there. We'll have to...
Two-part episode of Friends, the first of the series, first two-part episode. Mm. Both parts aired on February 23rd of 95.
Oh, cool. So maybe it was just like a double sort of whammy. And yeah, I'll have to... Yeah, when we watch it, it'll be interesting to see which, if I can recall which bit sort of carries over or if it's...
Because Seinfeld did this with the episode The Boyfriend. It was called, so they had the new friend and the boyfriend. So it's actually two different episodes, but they aired it on the same night back-to-back. So...
Mm.
We just, when we did the Talking Sci-Fi episode, we just did it as one big review because okay. They aired it on the same night anyway. So it was like a special. So it seems like they've done the same thing here.
Maybe we can do that. Maybe we'll watch it and just make sure it sort of makes sense to review them together.
Do a really long episode.
Yeah.
We can do that. Why not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll see. Let us know, guys. Would you prefer us to do that? Friendsmailbag@gmail.com. Write in. And please continue to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social medias @OneAboutFriends on all of those. And if you do enjoy everything we're doing here, and if you want the show weekly in your ears, support us on Patreon for as little as one single dollar. But $5 will get you early access, early ad-free access to the show and all the other shows we do here on the network, plus a bunch of other bonus podcasts that are only available on our Patreon as well. But this has been our review of The One with the Stoned Guy. Next week is going to be The One with Two Parts, either part one and two or just part one, the next episode of this podcast. But thank you again for all of your support. We do appreciate all of you guys listening. I am Dando.
I am Nicola.
And we'll catch you guys after we've potentially got our lobster tattoos.
Whoop, whoop.